Not a con.
All right, so morning. My name is Eric Meyer. Talk about managing a massive mailing list. How many of you have seen or been on CSS Discuss? Anyone? Okay, there's one. Okay, so as of, I'll just move forward on that. CSS Discuss is a mailing list. And the way I see it, mailing lists are sort of the original Usenet in a way, because before there were NNTP groups, there were mailing lists. Most of the discussion lists back in those days ending with L. So there have been mailing lists for decades now on just about everything you could imagine, and probably some things that we would prefer not to imagine. My experience on many mailing lists over the years has been that unmoderated lists are generally about like Usenet groups, which are also unmoderated, well, most of them, in that they're completely unruly, fairly noisy. The useful content is generally outweighed by the off-topic posts, the flame wars, the people posting the latest link to some funny bit of ASCII art that they found, whatever. So some questions that I'd like to think I've answered, at least in my particular cases: can a mailing list, regardless of its size, be kept civil, focused, and useful? And is there an upper size limit for a mailing list? Now, I'm not going to promise you ahead of time that I necessarily have an answer to that last point, but I do have some thoughts about it. So, CSS Discuss in the first year was announced to the world on Thursday, 24 January 2002. So it's been a bit over 3 years. We had 300 subscribers in the first 3 hours. First 4 hours, excuse me, and 700 subscribers the first day, which was rather a shock. By the end of the first week, there were over 1,000 subscribers. I had not expected this at all. If you'd asked me ahead of time what I thought the subscribers would be at the 4-hour, 24-hour, and 168-hour points, I would have given you figures roughly like those, except all of them divided by 10. By the end of the year, the list traffic was crushing the server it was on, which was one of the mailman servers at Pear Networks, as a matter of fact. The server was getting so far behind that we had like day-long lags between send message and then sending a message to the server and then the message getting to the rest of the list. So at that point, I had to look around for another home, and fortunately found the guys at eVolt, specifically eVolt UK, who migrated the list over to, set up the list on their servers at the same time as we set up csdiscuss.org. Now, I draw a distinction there. I say we migrated over. The list migrated over. The list membership did not migrate. What, in fact, I did was I set up the new list, and then I told everyone on the old list, if you want to move to the new home, go subscribe there. The old list is going to get shut down here in a little bit. Rather than try to just pick up the whole membership list, pick up the whole membership roster and move it over, this actually served two purposes. The first was, obviously, to get us onto a server that could deal with the kind of traffic we were throwing at it. Second reason was, we'd been at it almost a year, and it was my feeling that there was probably some deadwood in the membership roster. Now, Mailman does have some automated unsubscription functions where if an account gets disabled due to bounces and then it isn't re-enabled within a certain time period, then the address is just dropped. But there were accounts that, accounts might get dropped because, or accounts might get disabled because, for other reasons. The user decided that they couldn't deal with the mail for a while and had just never come back. The user had been disabled by me because they were getting unrecognized. They were generating unrecognized bounces that the system couldn't deal with automatically, that sort of thing. I had tried to prune those out, but there are only so many hours in a day. So in effect, what I did was I hot tubbed the list. Hot tubbing is something that some lists do by design. The general idea behind hot tubbing is every now and again, you kick everyone off the list and start over. This comes from it comes from a situation that may or may not be apocryphal, but there was a relatively famous person who had a hot tub in his backyard in LA, and it was behind behind a fence. There was a gate that had a pin code to unlock the door. And he would just tell all of his friends what the pin code was. And they would tell their friends, and then those friends would tell their friends, and anyone was welcome. I mean, people would just hang out in this, you know, show up at this hot tub, hang out, do whatever they were gonna do. Eventually, it would get to the point where enough people were coming by that something would happen, that, you know, the cops would get called, or, you know, the guy would discover illegal paraphernalia, that sort of thing in his hot tub. At that point, he would change the pin code and tell his friends. And then they would tell their friends, and they would tell their friends, and eventually the cycle started. Eventually you'd get around to the cycle again. So hot tubbing and mailing lists is every now and again, you just kick everyone off the list and let them all back. Now some lists actually not only will kick everyone off the list, they'll just flush the subscriber database, but they'll also change the actual address of the mailing list. And then tell the core people who've always been helpful what the new address is, and then they can tell their friends, and they can tell their, and some lists by design do this every now and again, maybe like once a year, let's say. I didn't really want to do that just because it seemed like a lot of work. It seemed like more work, let me put it that way. But in this case, since we were already migrating servers, I figured, all right, we're just going to do it. And it wasn't quite so exclusive. Of course, I announced to the entire list, this is where we're going. You can go sign up over there. And I mentioned that we were moving on my website and all that sort of thing. But forgot to turn off the screensaver. Get more.
Giddy up.
Yeah, woohoo. Does that mean Catherine Zeta-Jones is going to come in? Anyway. Well, because if they'd announced that ahead of time, I bet I'd have more people here. Anyway.
See, now you've got to spread the rumor that she did show up.
Right, exactly. Next year, dudes. We don't know. Anyway. So we had about 2,500 subscribers at the point we migrated. And like I say, we zeroed out everything. We were back to 1,500 within a month. So here are the kind of traffic levels we're talking about. This isn't quite as legible as I might have hoped. For all of the months of December 2002, this is messages per day as a monthly average, from 0 to 80 messages a day. Now, in January 2002, remember we announced the list on January 24th. By January 31st, over 1,000 messages had been posted. So that's why for January, this is off the chart. I've forgotten, it's 100 and something messages per day average. But then it settles down. You can see that things got a little wonky in here. This is where we really started having our server problems, and the monthly average started to drop simply because traffic wasn't getting through. We did get as high as almost 70 in October for whatever reason. But that was basically how the list went in the first year. In the second year, again, we started in the 55 range. For some reason in March, we dropped down below 30, and then basically things started to even out. And then this is last year, where things are relatively even. We're in the 50 to 60 range, typically. And for the first quarter of this year, we're up in that 60 range again. So that's messages per day. As of earlier this week, we have 5,928 subscribed addresses on this list. That was the beginning of this week. I was going to check it last night and forgot. We may be over 6,000 by now. We did average, as I say, about 60 messages a day in the first quarter of 2005. With that kind of traffic, obviously, there's a lot of bandwidth being sucked up by that particular server. But what's nice is that, number one, if you've never been there, the CSS Discuss Wiki, which has been put together collaboratively, as wikis should be, by members of the mailing list, has become incredibly useful for CSS topics. If you go to css-discuss.org, one of the links in the top toolbar is wiki, which I may at some point change to FAQ, just because I keep getting mail. I keep seeing mail from people saying, what's a wiki? So, you know, if I change it to FAQ, then I'll only get a few messages per month that say, what's an FAQ? But it is very useful. What I really like about it is it's an extension of the list to a large degree, and the nature of the list in that it does its best to be neutral. And I suppose in some sense it's like the Wikipedia, or at least the goal of the Wikipedia, which is to discuss topics in as even-handed a manner as possible. Now, if you're not familiar with CSS, there are a few topics around CSS and web design in general that will generate what we like to call holy wars. Font sizing is one of them, sort of the classic one in CSS. Should I use pixels? Should I use points? You know, M's? Can I make the text smaller? These can generate huge arguments. There is a good deal of information on the wiki about font sizing, but while it does have a slight bias towards, you know, don't use pixels, and it's very firm about not using points for screen design, which is just good sense. Overall, it will say, you know, if you want to size your font with pixels, here are the pros and cons. If you want to do it with M's, here are the pros and cons. If you want to do it with keywords, here are the pros and cons. So we try to keep that sort of thing going on the list as well. And the wiki has reflected that, at least to date. The wiki's been going now for a couple of years. Set up by Incusio.com. Incusio.com, which is a UK firm. At this point, the list is tended to by four moderators and the list chaperone. That's me. The moderators were actually appointed at the end of last year. But here are the basic rules of the road. This is actually a post I made at the very beginning of this year in response to having to kick someone off the list. I said, I really only ask two things of list members, that they stay on topic and that they respect their fellow list members. That's the foundation of the list. So if that's too touchy-feely for you, there's a more detailed set of list policies on the CSS Discuss website. And the URL to those policies are sent out to every new subscriber. Now, those policies say things like, stay on topic, oddly enough. They also say things like, trim your quoted material. Now, I don't kick people off the list for not trimming their quoted material. I will talk about how I deal with that here in a bit. They say things like no commercial advertisements. You know, the example I believe is you can announce that you've just published a book on CSS or an article on CSS. That's okay, but announcing that if people buy your book on CSS today, they get a discount, that's not okay. Basically, is sort of where I draw that line. We also don't allow job postings, either looking for jobs or looking for people to fill a job, because it is a global list. And so, you know, if someone posts, hey, I'm looking for a designer in Cleveland, Ohio, you know, six people on out of a list of 6,000 might find that useful, and the other 5,994 go, why do I care? I don't live in Cleveland. I don't even live in the United States. You know, so those are some of the policies. We also, on that same page, there are some more, I suppose, philosophical things. One is about taking offense and trying, you know, don't take offense if you can, pointing out that yes, it is a global list and there are a lot of people on the list and things that you might not find at all remarkable, someone else may find insanely offensive and vice versa. So just, you know, try not to trip over the obvious ones like religion or, you know, cultural bias or whatever. If you post something about, hey, I did this website using, pixels for my font sizes, and someone else takes a horrible offense at that, there's really not much you can do about that. But if you post and, you know, attribute the lack of good web design on a site to the nationality of the people who created it, that's, you know, probably not a good idea. And in those same list policies, there's a section on what to ask and how to answer, which boils down to what to ask, anything that's related to CSS, how to answer with respect. If you can't respect someone when you answer, don't answer. I don't care if you have the right answer. Don't do it. I have said that from the beginning of the list. And sometimes I have to remind people of that, but in general, and part of that is, what I've said is, answer the question that was asked. All right? Even if you then, if you want to follow it up with, but here's another approach you might want to consider, it's probably better for the following reasons, that's fine. But what I have found in other lists, and I try to avoid on CSS Discuss, is one of the fastest ways to get people shouting at each other is for someone to post a question and for someone else to answer with, well, don't do it that way, that's just stupid, do it this way instead. Right? Much better is, well, if you want to do that, then here's how you do that. But how about this? This is another way of solving the same problem, except here's why I think it's better. Because in a lot of cases, what I found was people who answered the, well, that's stupid, why would you do it that way? Do it this other way instead. The answer comes back, I have to do it that way for reasons X, Y, and Z. And then, of course, the person who originally said, you should not do it that way, then has to demonstrate why that's a, why those are bad reasons, and it just goes on forever. So, interestingly enough, I've had, on occasion, email from people who have said, I have a mailing list, and can I copy your policies for my mailing list? Sure, go for it. That's fine. Sometimes pieces of them to send out to their list members. But these are the basic rules of the road, and everything, really, about the administration of the list is aimed at preserving this right here, basically having this be the nature of the list. So one of the best ways to make sure that the list behaves in the fashion you want is set the example. Okay? Have that mission for your list, have the nature of the list clearly in your mind from the start, or if not from the start, at least from when you start managing the list in an active way. And then keep working to define them. It's not enough to just post a list of policies and say, this is what the list should be like. Okay. Even if we made the incredibly questionable assumption that everyone who ever joined the list read the policies, which most of them don't. You send them the URL in the subscription mail that says, these are the policies, read them, all in capital locks, in capital letters. They don't. I mean, some people do, but most people don't. If you have a particular scope for the list, obviously if it's a general talk list, you don't have to worry about that part, but then, you also don't have to worry about keeping it civil because it won't stay that way. But if you have a specific topic in mind, keep defining that through posting. If someone posts something that you feel is off topic and you're in charge, you can't be afraid to say, I'm sorry, that's off topic. Here's why. Here are some other places you might be able to discuss that, but here, not relevant. More and more, we're starting to get people posting, hey, how do I do this in JavaScript? Apparently on the theory that CSS, JavaScript, it's all client-side, therefore talking about client-side manipulations through JavaScript would be relevant for a CSS list, which it's not. It could be, but then that wouldn't be CSS discuss. That would be some other kind of discuss. So I've had to step in and say, look, this is off topic. You could go to Web Design L, you go to the eVolts, the list. Here are some other places that you could discuss that sort of thing, but here we talk about CSS. Just because you let that get away from you, and you'll never get it back, or not without hot tubbing the list. In general, I found whatever you do on the list members are going to follow after that. If you're in charge of the list, and you like on occasion to flame people, you're going to get flames on the list. Okay? If you like to flame people, but you want a list that doesn't have flames, flame in other forums. Flame on Usenet. That's fine. Just subscribe to alt.politics and have at it. Great. Work that mojo out somewhere else other than your list, unless, of course, you want flames on your list. And if you do, then fine. Just let me know so that I don't subscribe. But that's what's going to happen. And the good thing is, if you can set an example that others start to follow, then those people serve examples to other people who join the list, which is kind of important because, you know, as much as I'd like to think that everyone who comes to the list, you know, holds me in high regard, 6,000 people are not all going to follow my example. But they will follow the general example they see, not only from posts that I make, but posts other people make. Part of that is, if you're in charge of the list, you need to participate in the list. It's not, well, assuming that you care at all about the content of the list. It's not enough to manage the list in the background. You have to be in the foreground, demonstrating, you know, making the kinds of posts that you want to see. And as part of that, if in general, you know, at least on CSS Discuss, people will post and they'll say, how do I do this? And I'll answer. I'll say, here's how you do it. Or someone else, you know, someone will post saying, how do I do this? And someone else will answer. And then I might chime in with and here's something else to consider. You know, that just the normal kind of everyday, it's just like I'm a participant. The nice thing about that is that then it's no surprise, really, when I post with administrative stuff. There isn't the feeling of, whoa, who's this guy and where did he come from? Right. And I'm always careful for my administrative posts to put admin in capital letters in the subject line. So they know, so list members know when they see it, it's, you know, I'm speaking with the administrator hat on, and then other times I've taken that hat off and I'm another list member. So that way, you know, every now and again, and it's the same thing with defining off-topic posts. I don't put an OT in the subject line, which is the usual designator for this is off-topic. I put in admin. And then the body of the message is, this is off topic. Here's why. Here's some other places you could go. But it becomes more part of the flow. And so I find that the list members are more willing to accept that. And they're more willing to accept, you know, administrative input of that type, you know, without it really, you know, being anything special or ruffling any feathers, or at least not too many feathers. So that's really the most important thing, is to set a good example. I mean, and that sounds really stupidly basic and like, yeah, didn't we all learn that in Sunday school or Aleph Bet or whatever it was as we went to as kids. But it's something that I just don't see on mailing lists very often, on other mailing lists. One of the exceptions, actually, is Web Design L. Anyone familiar with Web Design L? No. Okay. Run by Steve Champion. I do have to say that a lot of how I approach running CSS Discuss is inspired by how Steve Champion runs Web Design L. The thing is that Steve has an incredibly, well, he refers to it as a very, very low bozo threshold. When he sees someone who he regards as being a bozo, he is, while he's not sort of actively insulting, he also makes no attempt to spare their feelings. And he can be very, I mean, it's funny if you know him, because he's the quietest guy. He's a really nice guy in person. But on the list, if you do something that he thinks is stupid, he's just going to tell you, that is the stupidest, don't do that. And so I don't do that, just because I find it easier to, I prefer carrots to sticks in general. We'll get to sticks in a moment, but I tend to prefer carrots. But he to a large degree, embodies this whole principle where he participates in his own list. And when he's not wielding the administrative rod of correction, he does, you know, he posts in a way, he puts up the kind of posts that he would like to see, and they're not flames, basically. Steve being Steve, they're usually about 6 pages long and have way more detail than you would ever possibly want for an answer, but hey, that's all right. He's one of the only people I know who can tie points about web design back to the OSI model and have it make sense. I don't know, I can't do that. It's crazy. He said, yes, the IETF back in 1973. dude, we just wanted to know how to set a color. Anyway.
It's pretty funny you mention that because the local mud list mm-hmm. had an engineer has been involved in Linux for eons.
Okay.
Once he's in town for a few months for a consulting gig, being a geek, I could understand his total geekness being an engineer, but a lot of the other old people on the list didn't appreciate his long, detailed
posts. Right.
And pretty much forced him off the list.
Interesting. Well, so other members of the list forced him off?
Yeah.
Okay. Hold on a second. Let me make sure. I'll get back to that bit.
Sure.
Get back to what I want to say about that sort of thing. This I have found to be incredibly useful. Being on top of list policy violations, even the small ones, really helps. But especially for the small list policy violations, do it in direct email. Don't do it on the list. Okay. The classic version here for me is when somebody excessively quotes. Now, 95 times out of 100, that means that they've top posted, or they have like three lines of response, and then there's an entire quoted message underneath it. Which that particular ordering drives me crazy anyway. But I don't tell them that that's wrong. What I do, the beginning of sort of this form message that I send to them is, I'm writing you off list to request a change in your quoting policy. The practice of quoting most or all of a message unnecessarily inflates message sizes and drives up traffic as well as makes life more difficult for digest readers. Okay? But I don't do that on the list. If I did that on the list, half the list would be, at least for a while, would be me posting this. Well, not half the list, but they would show up, you know, way more frequently than I like. This gets sent directly. Okay. And just literally, if I see a message that has excessive quoting, command R, you know, do the little stationary template thing, it's off. Okay. You know, if someone posts a really good thing, a really good message, or if they take an off-topic thread and pull it back on topic, which does happen sometimes. When I respond in that thread, I'll usually try to say something, but then in the thread, on the list, say, and thank you to John for pulling this thread back on the list. It was drifting out of list topic territory, but I'm glad to see it's back in there. So those kinds of things. Do the praise in public, do the admonishments in private when possible. Now, that's not always possible, of course. You know, if somebody posts an off-topic post, you need to say on the list so that everyone knows, hey, this wasn't really on topic, and here's why. Because, I mean, in general, almost anyone I've ever met is far more willing to listen to you if you're giving them constructive criticism one-to-one, like in a corner, than if I were to stand up here and, you know, criticize one of you in front of everyone else. That, I mean, that's just sort of human nature. And so trying to embody that here has really helped. I'd like to think that, for example, the unnecessary quoting message has had an effect. We still get people who top post and full quote, and we get the even more rare, but even funnier, entire quoted message and then two lines at the bottom. So they had to skip past all the quoted material. And as much as I'd like to write I'd like to modify this message to do this and then say, dude, you skipped past all that quoted material. What were you thinking? I don't. Sometimes I'd like to, but I don't. There have been people who have been habitual excessive quoters, and just every time I saw one of their messages, I'd send them one of these. And that's where they stop. Either they stop posting, or they stop excessively quoting, one of the two. And sometimes they'll write me back, and they'll say, why is this such a big deal? And then I will explain it to them. Well, you know, if you think about it, we have almost 6,000 members and 6,000 accounts. So every extra character you send is an extra 6 kilobytes of bandwidth that gets consumed. And so if you quote a 5 kilobyte message, you know, do the math. Except they say it more politely than that. Or they'll say, occasionally, and I just saw this actually on WebDesignL the other day, someone top posted, and that's one of those things that drives Steve crazy too. So he posted basically a don't top post, and someone else responded with, Wow, top posting, that's a term I'd never heard before. What? I can understand it on, you know, like basic, I just got started in web design list, but web design L is kind of high level. Anyway, so occasionally I'll get those too. What do you mean? What's wrong with top posting? Even worse is when I call them Jeopardy style quotations. People don't get that either. Anyway. Did I skip two? No. Number one, though, is you have to be a benevolent dictator, and you have to be comfortable with this, or you at least have to accept it. If you're not, maybe comfortable is the wrong word. You have to accept it and be willing to go with it. The person who's in charge has to be in charge. They have to have the final say on what's okay and what isn't. They have to be willing to enforce that. You know, politely, hopefully, at least for my way of approaching things, politely is much better. But a mailing list is neither a democracy nor an anarchy, unless you want it to be that way. So as an example, where a bunch of list members forced a guy off the list, in that example, I guess it depends on how it works. But on my list, we don't have posses, basically, or lynch mobs, or whatever you want to call them. If someone's going to be removed from the list, that's my call. And in some ways, I mean, that's how it should be. If I'm on a mailing list, I don't want to have to worry about who's supposed to be there and who isn't. That's somebody else's job. On CSS Discuss, it's my job. I don't want this to be taken as a mailing list should never be a democracy nor an anarchy. If you want a mailing list that's a democracy, great, go for it. But what I found on mailing lists, for whatever reason, democracies tend to lead to anarchies. Because when everyone's in charge, no one's in charge on a mailing list. Unless you have a very small core group of people who all are basically pulling in the same direction. But on a list with 6,000 people from all over the world with all these various viewpoints, there's no way that you can have basically a collective collective enforcement of the policies. Everyone's going to read the policies a little bit differently, okay? Or a lot differently in some cases. Someone might decide that the policy of try not to offend people means never offend people, and if anyone ever says that you offended them, you're out. Okay, that's not going to work. It's not going to work if one of the people on the list thinks that's how it should be, and someone else on the list says, "Hey, as long as they're not using like certain really awful words, then they're not really trying to offend anyone," and that's okay. You know, you can see the conflict there already. Obviously, if a member becomes disruptive, then the person who's in charge has to do something about that. Place them under moderation, or if necessary, kick them off the list. I have only had to kick one person off the list for disruption reasons in the entire 3 years plus I've been running this list. And that was at the beginning of the year, as a matter of fact. In a couple of cases, I've had list members who couldn't seem to resist flaming each other. I put that in quotes because a flame war on CSS Discuss on any other list would hardly even be noticed, or almost any other list. What we think of a flame war is more than three testy messages in a single thread. Okay, which gives you some idea of the nature of the list and, you know, how that's been shaped. But occasionally I have put people's addresses into the moderation approval queue for like a week, let's say. I put them in what's effectively a penalty box. It's that you can still post, but the administrators are going to look at your post before it goes onto the list, just because you can't seem to resist, insulting people, basically, you're not showing people respect. And actually, there's one guy I placed under moderation because he just would not stop excessively quoting. And I wrote him and I told him, "Look, you're in moderation now because of this. And any message that you send that I see in the moderation queue that has a ton of quoting, I'm just bouncing it back at you." He stopped posting, but you know. On the other hand, I've seen him on other lists since, and he's not excessively quoting anymore. So take that for what it's worth. But anyway, in this situation, you have to know ahead of time, in as sort of objective a way as possible, what constitutes a reason for being kicked off the list. And then you have to stick to it. You know, if somebody who really annoys you does something that doesn't cross that line, you can't kick them just because they're annoying. And if someone you like crosses the line, they've got to go. And in general, you have to be willing to explain that decision in public. You don't necessarily have to defend it, but explain it. With the one situation at the beginning of the year, a guy named Ryan kept posting the list. Well, I say kept. He had posted the list a few times, basically saying CSS sucks. It doesn't work. It doesn't do what I want it to. This is stupid. And I had responded, you know, on the list and also in private at least once, saying, we understand that you're frustrated. CSS can be challenging sometimes. However, this isn't helping. If you have a specific problem, post about that specific problem, and the list membership will try to help you solve that specific problem. But we're not here to talk about whether or not CSS sucks or not. Maybe it does, but that's not what this list is for. He didn't seem to want to accept that. So at the beginning of the year, he did it again, and I told him in public, I told him on the list, because it had just gotten to that point, look, here's the deal. If you can't accept that, then this probably isn't the list for you. You should leave. And his response was, no, I'm going to stay here. If you want me off your list, you can ban me yourself. I was like, done. That's it, gone. Okay. And then he subscribed under a different address, and he posted again, and I kicked that one. And then eventually I set up a regular expression to prevent anyone from his particular IP range from subscribing. At that point, he was gone. Now, did he have a point? Maybe. I could argue that with someone for a couple hours. But the point was, he was relentlessly off topic. He was effectively trolling by the standards of our community. And by the standards of many communities, he was trolling, and I won't put up with that. And then, once that had happened, I posted a message to the list because I know that with several people joining every day, there are going to be people who the first day that they joined the list, some guy got kicked, and yikes, what kind of list is this? I thought it was a good list, and I didn't know that they. So I posted a message saying, here's why this happens. That's the quote I had earlier about I only asked two things of members. That's where that came from. And basically, and the end of it said, this had, thus my decision. If you would like to discuss it with me in more detail, please contact me off list. Okay. Because I didn't want to get into this whole thing on the list, a whole huge thread about, well, Ryan was a little abrasive, but he had a point. No, he didn't. Yeah, no, we don't need that on the list. With 60 messages a day, we don't need more traffic. So that's a case of exercising authority only when it's necessary. That's sort of part of the price of admission for being a benevolent dictator, is you're benevolent and you're minimal to the maximum extent possible. If you're going to be just a plain old dictator and kick people because you feel like it and all that kind of thing, okay, if that's the kind of list you want, fine, but it's not going to go nearly as smoothly. We could do a Ben Parker, with great power comes great responsibility sort of thing, but I don't know how great the power is there. It's just a mailing list, but still. Basically, what it comes down to is when you're in charge of a list like this, you can't be afraid to use that authority. You can't be afraid to say, okay, this has gotten to a point where I have to take this action, which some people might not like, but that's just how it is. And if some people, what it comes down to in the end is, this is a mailing list. No one is ever forced to join, and no one is ever forced to stay. And hopefully, almost no one is ever forced to leave. Until the beginning of the year, I could have said that no one was ever forced to leave. Now I can't quite say that. But that's what it has to come down to, because hopefully what people can realize is that having a useful list is not a right, it's a privilege. And it turns out it takes a lot of work to preserve that. Now, when that work gets to be too much, I call this one community interest attacks, just because, ooh, that was cool. I could do the whole rest of the thing like this. Ooh. Anyway, when community interest attacks. Like I said at the beginning, if you told me that within a week of launching the list there'd be 1,000 people subscribed, I said you were nuts. I was able to run this as the sole list chaperone until the end of last year, which is when I got around to appointing moderators. But basically, you have to look at what you're doing from time to time and how, you know, how your involvement level is. Are you staying on top of the administrative chores? Things like dealing with unrecognized bounces. You know, looking to see if there are any accounts that have been inactive for too long. Are you still involved in the list? Are you still setting a good example? Because you could have the first two covered okay, but covering the first two has you so stressed that you're not meeting number three. You're not setting the example that you want on the list because you're just so stressed out. Is always a possibility. When you get to that point, and this was hard for me because I have problems delegating, delegating authority, but I did consider moderators or co-administrators. In my case, I'm still the list administrator. I'm still in charge of, you know, kicking people off if they need to be kicked off, which, as I say, happened once. I'm in charge of dealing with subscription problems and all that sort of thing. The moderators are there more to handle numbers 2 and 3. They're involved in the list, and I am able to stay involved in the list a little bit more now. But I also know that they're watching the list, and they can say, hey, this is off topic, or, you know, those sorts of things. They can send those direct reminders about, hey, you're excessively quoting, that sort of thing. And they can set a good example. This has been incredibly useful. I was getting to the point where I was really worried about the community, the nature of the community, and the fact that it was starting to degrade because I couldn't keep up. I couldn't keep on top of it. The moderators have helped immensely. And of course, if you've gotten to the point that you just don't care, it's time to think about handing the reins over to someone else. And maybe still stay involved in the list, but don't be the administrator anymore if that's what it comes to. That will be another hard one when I eventually reach that decision. But it will happen eventually. Now, I may also, at some point, these moderators may become co-administrators so that they can help with all three, but we're not there yet. Or I'm not there yet, excuse me. Someone else might have been there already, but I'm not there yet. The other nice thing about having moderators in this situation is that if they see something that they think I might want to comment on in my administrative capacity on the list, they can bring it to my attention, even if I didn't see it. That really seems to help a lot. But in the end, it all comes back to there's one person in charge, and maybe eventually there will be five people in charge. But one of the reasons I haven't done that yet is that on lists that I've been on where it went from one person being in charge to a small committee being in charge, that just never seems to go well. Because the committee members generally all act as administrators, which is great, except when they disagree. And then it's kind of one of those, mommy said one thing and daddy said another, and now I'm all confused. Not trying to, I'm sorry, that probably seemed like I was being patronizing towards list members, which is not the case. I mean, when you have someone who has authority figures and the authority figures disagree right there, it's very confusing. And it gets even better when they start arguing in public, or worse, actually. But so that's one of the reasons why I'm doing this the way I'm doing it. It still all ends up with me having to make the decisions, which, you know, you could phrase that as, I'm still the god. But when you get right down to it, I don't necessarily want to be. I just am because I created this list, so it's my responsibility until I hand it off to someone else. And I created the list because there wasn't a list like it, and I thought that maybe there would be some people out there who would be interested in it. As it turns out, there were. So, in summary, because I'll have to get off the podium before 11 o'clock. embrace benevolent dictatorship if you're going to be in charge of a list. And again, you know, that sounds like it means you must rule with iron fist. Well, put a velvet glove on the iron fist if you can. Just because you're, you know, and don't pretend to be something else either. Don't be a benevolent dictator, but say, oh, everyone's in charge. No, you have to be clear about the fact that if you're in charge, it's, you know, if someone says, hey, I think this should change, and you say, no, that's not going to change, and they say, why not? I mean, a perfectly acceptable answer in that case is basically because I said so. It may not be acceptable to them, but it has to be acceptable to you. Now, you can use more words, of course, to say, well, I'm in charge here, and so I've made the decision, I've considered both sides of this argument, and this is what I've decided. And you can discuss it with me further off list if you'd like. But that's, you know, you basically, it has to come down to you. You have to be willing to say in public because I said so. And if people say that's not good enough, tell them, then maybe this isn't the place for you. Okay. That can, I'm sure that could lead to people power tripping, but you know, just avoid that, basically. Be involved in the list as much as possible so that you can set an example for the list members. And, you know, make the kinds of posts that you want to see other people making. Like I said before, praise in public, admonish in private. If you've noticed that somebody has been posting basically in a way that doesn't conform with your vision of how the list should be run, in my case, if someone keeps posting with, well, that's stupid, why would you do it that way? Do it this other way instead. Contact them off list to talk to them about it first. And, you know, that way you can talk about it sort of in private. You can say to them, look, this is why, you know, this, and, you know, again, embody the, it would be nicer, you know, I understand why you did it that way, but here's the way we try to do things here. You know, sort of a, instead of telling them the way that you answer, the way that you tell people that something is stupid and they should do it differently, that's stupid and you should do it differently. Don't try to avoid that. More of a, you know, we tend to prefer that things happen this way for these reasons. And, you know, if eventually there, you know, it comes down to, well, that's stupid and you're just being wishy-washy and we shouldn't be afraid to call bozos bozos, then, you know, respond with, look, I don't think this list is right for you. You know? And occasionally, one of my favorite answers is, you know, well, the restrictions on this list are wrong, and you know it should be opened up this way, and they just won't accept that you won't change that. Then eventually, the answer is, start your own mailing list. Nobody has yet. I've told that to, but you know, it's the, if you don't like the way this list is being run, and you think that it's very important that there be a list that does things differently, go for it, dude. Start that list. And if you're right, then there will be more people on that list than this one. And then you can send me the membership figures and tell me I was wrong. You know, I'm okay with that. Maybe I am wrong in this case. But you know, stop telling me that the list I founded needs to be different. Okay? I will certainly consider that, but if I decide that no, it doesn't need to be different, and you can't accept that, start your own list. Because it's really not that hard. And if you're drowning, either get help or hand the, you know, get help to assist you, or step aside, hand the reins over to somebody else who maybe is, you know, younger and has more energy and hasn't been quite so burned out. That's basically it. They have to start at 11, so I guess we have a few minutes if anyone has any questions. Yeah?
Sure. As far as your moderation, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Is there any kind of rules of thumb that you divide those up, like threads that have checksums less than this or greater than this, or something that go to these different groups? Or do you have a group large enough that you need something like that? Are there any automatic dividing?
Not automated in that sense. Instead, what we really did is we set up a schedule. It's like moderator A is on Mondays and Thursdays, and moderator B is, you know, just watching the list more closely. I mean, some days they don't have to do anything except read the list, which is what they do anyway. I encourage them if they have a, you know, if they're not sure that something needs to be dealt with, to get in touch with me, that sort of thing. But at this stage, we don't, you know, as much as I've thought about it, we don't really have any automated tools like that. So yeah, go ahead. Go ahead and I'll look to see if anyone else puts their hand up. Okay. Follow-up question? Or okay, we'll go to you.
As a less member, as a community member, how do you deal with admins that don't exist at all, and the list is kind of floundering out there, and there's a couple group of people that are really good, but then you have all of these putzes that are dragging it down even more?
Okay, in that case, well, to a certain extent, that's what drove me to establish CSS Discuss. Although it wasn't a mailing list in that case, it was a combination of the Usenet group related to style sheets and the fact that there wasn't really a practical mailing list. There was www style at the World Wide Web Consortium, but that was more about what should CSS do and where should it go in the future, and you know, what should the interpretation of this particular sentence in the specification be, which is, that's great as far as it goes, but not what most people want about CSS. They want to know, you know, how do I create rounded corners on a box or whatever. You can always write to the administrator if there nominally is one. Assume that they're, you know, I'm just assuming that somebody's in charge. Whether or not they're doing anything, they still hold the title. Write to them to say, hey, you know, if it's a situation where they just seem to be overworked, to say, I'd be willing to help out, to become the administrator. However, if it's a list that's been around for a while, I think you might actually just be better off starting your own. And then saying, you know, you can always announce on the list, you know, that you're leaving, that you're setting up a new related list, and if people want to join, that's fine. They should read the policies first, and then they get that idea. I think in a lot of cases, attempting to completely reformat an existing community just leads to much worse results, typically, because there will always be the people who either don't want to change because they don't like change, or don't want to change because they like the fact that they can be putzes. You know, whereas on a new list, you know, when they show up on the new list and be putzes, and you can say, nope, no putzing, out of here, then they start to get it. So that's really where I come from on that. Anyone else? Anyone? Yeah. One last question, because I got to get off the list. Yeah, no, you.
Auto reply to talk coding or anything like that? Do you need to use any tools to kind of
reinforce
some behaviors?
I've thought about it. I have two problems. One is that I don't actually have control over the box that runs the mailing list. If I ever did, I would think about automated tools to flag things like excessive quoting. But I think in the end, what I would prefer is not have automated tools that do something, but automated tools that notify me, hey, there's something that maybe you need to deal with. Because, you know, as much as I'm sending out a form letter, I'm still sending out the form letter. So if someone writes me back and says, writes a response to that and says, hey, you know, why did you do this? Then I can respond to it, as opposed to, you know, having some script send a message. And especially on a technical list like CSS Discuss, sometimes an excessive quotation is necessary because someone has posted this, you know, a block of style sheet and it needs to be picked apart. I mean, on a list like this, it's a little harder to have tools that can just automatically know when somebody has excessively quoted. So that's kind of why I tend to prefer having humans involved in that equation. And with 60 messages a day with the moderators, it's still just at that threshold where I think having humans deal with it is okay. So, all right, well, let me get off the podium so the next speaker can get up here. Thank you very much for coming here so early.